All right, I'm pretty sure we are live. Yep, we're live. All right, William. So I'm here with my buddy Will. Gonna just do a little podcast here with him. He's down for the holidays, so thought I'd give him a shout. I wish I had a video version of that. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But no, he's here.
We'll be able to hear. We'll see what we get into.
But
producer's a little knocked out.
Yeah, some of the other podcasts I know I had like over the phone, but this time it's kind of in person. We're doing it today in the studio, per se. Not really a studio, but we're just kind of doing it that way today, which I think would be kind of fun. Hopefully, here in the near future, I can get like a video set up. That'd be kind of cool, but don't really have a very good place to shoot a video.
If we can get this thing going, we'll have to get a good name for it, right? Like how the other day you said you fight me in a phone booth, but then I was thinking phone booth fighting, but no, I've heard of it. That's Frank Mir's podcast.
Is it really?
Yeah, Frank Mir's a podcast called Phone Booth Fighting. That's a good one.
Yeah, I will fight you in a phone booth.
Yeah, it'll happen. Knock you out standing up.
Yeah, sir. So don't worry about that. Nope. I'll get settled. But, so let's get into it. First question. What'd you think about the UFC fights this weekend? UFC 232.
UFC 232, Inglewood, California. John Jones did what everyone expected John Jones to do. I don't think there's much to say about that. The only thing I didn't like about the John Jones situation was seemingly how little the reporters knew about his substance situation. I mean,
yeah,
it was very clearly outlined by Nowitzki on the Rogan podcast and in other instances, all the pulsing effects it had, how it could have been in the system for up to 7 years.
Yeah, that's kind
of
weird.
That's kind of crazy. And, you know, the size of it, how little it could affect anything, and the amount of testing he's had done, the cheating and all at this point right before is no one's that stupid.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird.
I was shocked by Nunez, though. Not that she could do it. Not that she could do it, just that she did.
Yeah, I did not. I'm going to see if I can pull up some highlights of that. I did not expect Amanda Nunez to knock out Chris Cyborg. 52 seconds. I didn't know it was in 52 seconds either. Yeah. So we're going to watch
a little Cyborg bit of looks like she got hit, and she's not used to getting hit with power, at least in a fight. And then she just reverted to brawling.
I see. I'm pulling up the highlights right now on the TV. Ooh, wow. They're throwing.
When she gets clipped, right there. She gets tagged, and she goes into brawler mode.
Right there, it looks like she's landing the better shot, well, and then gets clipped right there.
All Nunez has to do is weather a storm, find an opening, and hit her with
boom,
just with better striking.
Right there. Ooh, she covered up a good one. Man, they're just throwing hands, aren't they?
Difference was Cyborg was brawling, Nunez was fighting. That's,
yeah.
I mean,
you could definitely
see that.
She
came in with a plan.
Wow. Wow.
I feel like it would have been better for Nunez if the fight had actually lasted longer, just to prove it wasn't any kind. I mean, it was pretty, the decision's pretty clear.
It wasn't a,
she knocked her out, but at the same time, you'd like to go longer just so she could say it wasn't any kind of accident on Cyborg's part. I was just the better fighter.
Yeah. Wow, that is kind of, I did not expect that to happen. Whenever I saw that happen, I was not expecting, and then John Jones took care of Gustafson pretty handily.
Yeah,
well, just kind of stayed on the outside and took him down.
I'm always amazed by how powerful he is with his ground strikes. Most guys you see take the back, just kind of hammer away at the head, but they don't always finish. He just plows into Gustafson. I mean, there was the force he generates. Like that's why he's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I think I just ripped him. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I knew John Jones was going to win that fight. I didn't see it going any other way. What are the good fights on that card? I didn't know Carlos Condit was on the card.
Yeah, that one ended pretty quick. Did it go second round? I can't remember.
I don't know. I didn't watch that fight.
The interesting about that,
I know he choked him out, though.
The interesting about that fight is Chiesa, who looks so strong at 70. He came in, and he finished Condit with a one-arm submission. He only used one arm against him. He had him up against the fence in side control. He was controlling Condon's other arm, was on his, had him rolled over, hit him with this sort of Kimura, where he stretched his arm out, but he finished it with one arm. He had control of his wrist with one arm. He took his lat and his shoulder, pressed it into Chiesa to create the pressure, like turn him on the other side, and just kind of lock out that elbow. It was very interesting. My favorite fight was Chad Mendes and Alex and Volkanovski. That was a hell of a fight.
Oh, okay, I see right here what you're talking about. He kind of hit it there. Just with one arm.
He hit it with one arm, and he just had his shoulder pressing in against his shoulder, like locking it out.
I've never seen that position.
No, I've never seen a one-arm submission. So he just kind of... submission.
He knows that he can pull his arm. He can you know, maneuver his arm as far as he needs to.
The thing was, he said in the gym, he does that all the time. It's just that he's so depleted at lightweight, he can't show some of the stuff. So it's kind of like... seems like it should have been a no-brainer to already go up to this weight.
Wow, but that is a weird position to be in. Never seen that position at all.
It was very interesting. But yeah, that Mendes-Volkanovski fight, I did not know he was that good. But as soon as he walked in, they said he's 18-1. I'm like, okay, this guy's somebody. I've seen him fight maybe once before, but I don't remember him too well. Now everybody remembers him.
Yeah. I know the fight that I wasn't very surprised, that I was just like, meh. Typical. I mean, what I was expecting was a Ryan Hall BJ Penn fight.
Yeah, I think we all saw that coming.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, I'm just going to roll in for the leg lock and see you tomorrow. No one. Was there even a punch thrown?
See ya. Yeah, no.
No punches thrown?
Yeah, no, there was. BJ kind of charged him a little bit, punched him, held him against the fence, and then one way or another, Penn worked off him and eventually hit that roll.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Last two fights of the night were pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I saw those two.
Very memorable.
But those were good. Didn't really catch the rest of them.
I can't tell you much about the prelims just off of memory. I watched them, but...
yeah. So, I'm going to pull up something. You might know what I'm pulling up.
Yes, I do.
But...
yes, I do.
It's a sad, sad turn of events.
You see this kid... should we just go and just say it?
Yeah, so basically what I'm talking about here is there was a fight this weekend that happened in Japan between Floyd Mayweather and Tenshin Nasukawa. And it was an exhibition match.
I watched it just today.
Obviously, if you know anything about the fight world, an exhibition match in Japan is going to be fake. It's all fake.
You watch how he falls when he gets hit. It's like he forgot how you're supposed to fall. It could not have been more obvious.
And you can see whenever he gets hit, he like throws himself around. So we're watching the fight right now. Have you seen the full fight?
Yeah, I've seen the full fight.
Oh, okay.
It's only, 3 minutes.
Yeah. So basically what's happening here is in the very beginning, you can tell Floyd Mayweather knows this is not a real fight because Floyd Mayweather never just throw bolos like that. If you don't know what that is, it's a old term for just like a leading uppercut. No one's going to throw that. He's going to stick behind his shoulder and not get hit. So you know it's not even a real fight after that. But at first you can see they're both kind of like playing, and then it starts to get like, okay, he's kind of stepping into a jab, he's looking good, it looks kind of real, and then the first major punch just thrown, it's just like, alright, whatever, this is not even...
Well, this kid, the thing about this, Floyd is no doubt one of the greatest ever. Regardless of that, this kid is like 32-0 or something like that. I get Floyd's a bigger guy. The punch he hit him with, that's not gonna floor you off of like a waning jab.
Yeah.
It was
right there.
I mean, that's...
he didn't hit him with anything.
That's a decent... yeah, if he even hit him.
And then how he turns over all dramatic. Like, you're not getting hit, my guy.
Yeah, he turns over like he's struggling to stand up.
And you can tell. You can look at his eyes. His eyes are there. His body's there. He didn't get hit.
You can see him fake cry at the end, too.
Yeah. Like, right there.
And then you can see Floyd knew that he got hit more than any other fight. And when I say hit, I don't mean actually hit. I just mean he put his arms up and the guy hit his forearms.
Yeah.
But you'd never do that in any of his other matches.
I mean, but right here you can see where this guy's actually showing like flares of his actual skill. You know, where he's actually showing movement. But right there you can see he just like lets his hands down.
Now, Floyd did hit him, that's for sure. He actually hit him clean.
Yeah, he did hit
But
I guarantee
the fall I was talking about hasn't happened yet. But he like skids back.
So what just happened is Floyd hit him with a...
I don't think they're fooling anybody.
A right hook. And I guarantee this guy's been hit with a harder right hook than that and hasn't fallen down in that manner. So that fall
What's
right
that? That extra little, oh, I'm still falling backward. And oh, that one right there. Can't get up. I need the ropes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, come on.
The one thing I do think is very cunning, and I'm not a big fan of Floyd, but I mean, of his defense I am, but in general I don't like Floyd. But the one thing I can compliment him on is his how smart he is, his business savvy. When he, like, you notice he had Kenny Bayless, the American ref, in there with him. He brought in his own ref, same one he had for McGregor, mm-hmm. that right? I think. Was yep. it Kenny? He brought in his own ref, he had his own English announcer.
Yep.
He had I didn't hear it, but I'd heard he had his own national anthem played too.
Yep.
Like, even though he's one of the only Americans there. So, I mean, he kind of...
It's probably the one of 10 Americans in that arena.
He kind
of
made it his own, like, however he wanted. There was no negotiations almost per se. It's if I'm going to do this, just let me do it how I want, and this is how it's going to go down.
Yeah, it was the Floyd Mayweather show in Japan,
basically. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, he wasn't doing...
And you look at him, it's like he knew it wasn't going to take it serious beside it being an exhibition... Looking at he's not out of shape. Looking at his body, he looked nothing like he did a year ago for McGregor. No, McGregor, he was shredded.
He's getting paid $9 million for 3 minutes.
This he probably trained about a week for.
I read somewhere where he made something like $64,000 every second he was in the ring.
Jeez.
If you calculated how much time he spent in there, which is just like, come on, man. It's just insane. Of how much this dude got paid for that. I don't even know. It's something else, though. But, yeah, I mean, his business savvy is on another level. You can just tell that, you know, he gets what he wants. He's a good businessman. He negotiates very well because everything he wants, requests, is done. You know, it's there. He gets his ref. He gets the purse that he wants. Purse meaning how much he's getting paid for the fight. He gets, I mean... He's the eight side in every encounter he usually has.
Yeah, it's interesting how do you become the pay-per-view king like he is? That has to be how. Because it's not like you're the most exciting fighter to watch.
No, he's definitely not the most exciting fighter
to watch. You're not a Deontay Wilder that's 39-0 and one now or whatever.
39 knockouts, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But so I know me and Will, we both watch a podcast, The Fighter and the Kid, if you don't know, it's Brian Callen and Brendan Schaub.
Brian Callen's.
They host a podcast together called The Fighter and the Kid. Brendan being an ex UFC heavyweight, and then Brian just being, you know, a kid. Not really, though. He's 51 or something like that. But coming up, they're... Have you been keeping up with the Guest of the Year Awards?
Yes.
I voted. Yeah, I voted, too.
Who'd you vote for?
I actually put in Chris D'Elia, and then I put in Andrew Santino.
Oh, you can vote more than once?
Yeah,
voted twice. Oh, you just did it. Okay, no, I voted for D'Elia.
Yeah, I voted for D'Elia, too.
And nothing against Theo.
Yeah. But he's getting a little bit...
He's so funny.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
I want Chris D'Elia to go in there and shake things up.
I like when comedians have their own personality that no one else has. That's like, it's just their own style that really stands out. And Chris is like so loose.
Yeah, like, I mean, just
play something for him. Like, doesn't make a dent. Do the play something for him.
Have you heard his Starbucks story?
Oh my goodness! Yeah, that's like 20 minutes though.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. No,
it's hilarious.
I love the little. They have some kind of Chris D'Elia compilation on there, but
yeah.
But
I liked it. Is it though?
Just flaunting his money and his.
It's hilarious. So they're basically all comedians: Brendan, Brian, Theo, Chris, Andrew Santino. They're all comedians. But where is it at? How Brian got psoriasis.
That's probably good.
I listen to this podcast all the time. It's one of the very few that I listen to every day. It's either that one, and I listen to Joe Rogan's podcast a lot, too. Those are just the classics.
Yeah. I have enjoyed a little bit hearing more. I don't know if you're familiar with this at all. Tom Segura's Your Mom's House.
No, I mean, I heard of it, but I don't
know. Okay, there's this hilarious... Well, I'll let this play.
Oh yeah, Brendan and Brian are dumb, right? Right. So they're technically dumb, okay? So what they do
what
is,
would that entail if you're dumb?
So what? God, so what they do is a guy,
yeah,
some guy, just anyone, let's say, will be like, hey, there's a new thing, right, let's say. Ingest it,
right,
and it's good for your health.
And so they go, nah, never mind, man. Who cares? See you later.
No, what? See, no, exactly.
Well, that's what I'm just, yeah.
Oh, what the fuck?
Let's do a little improv. I'll be the guy, you be you.
Okay, I'll be me.
Okay, so this is what you would normally. Okay.
Hey, man. Who are you, sir? Sorry,
I'm just some guy.
I don't know.
Check it out.
Some guy you don't know.
And it's out, and you should ingest it.
Oh, no thanks. Go fuck yourself.
Okay.
All right, yeah. Right.
So that's how it goes when.
Right. Now I'll do Brian. Okay. Or Brendan.
Okay.
Okay, so now you be the guy.
So this will be the.
Yeah.
Hey, man, what's up?
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm I'm good, man.
Oh,
how are
cool.
you doing?
Yeah. Now you're just, are you, do I know you?
No, I'm a
you're
guy.
You're just some guy.
I am some guy.
Yeah, because I don't think I've ever seen you before.
No, you wouldn't have. I'm okay. Just some guy. So it's a new thing. You should get it and you should ingest it.
Give me all of it, okay?
Can you talk about it on your podcast?
100%. And I hope it makes you do well and makes you money.
Yeah.
And I will be your test subject.
No. Yeah, okay.
That's a gross
and
now,
I appreciate
cut
that.
You 4 months later, I have psoriasis.
These are what gave you psoriasis.
Show him doesn't make a dent.
So when he says, when the guy says, hey, have that and wash it down with that,
yeah,
get psoriasis.
That's an oversimplification.
Is it though?
Jesus. We're so loud that we're getting banged.
Like
that was hilarious.
What's that mean, Theo?
Oh. But that was it.
Make a
what I was telling you about is I love Tom Segura, might be my favorite comedian, but he does a Your Mom's House podcast, and there's this thing with how there's this creepy guy who saw this girl at a gym. Anyway, long story short, they found a video where the next day he found her number and he sent her this video. It's just, you all you have to do is put in "Good morning, Julia," but there's these tons of hilarious fan interpretation stuff. It's just crazy what they get into with it, because there's so many hilarious reasons for why this guy would send her this video.
Simply Strawberry,
but,
it cost about $4.50, and that didn't make a fucking dent. But I got it for you because you're a sweet box.
Yeah.
Now, of course, that doesn't make a dent.
Hey, that's
what's still,
man. It shouldn't be about you making money.
Making money, it's about me losing $100, which doesn't make a fucking dang,
dude. God damn it. We'll try having psoriasis. I feel bad.
Please, let me do something.
I love how it's just every clip of him and Ryan alone.
But they were like, whatever doesn't make a dang.
You're so self congratulatory,
like,
man.
But she was like, would make a fucking
This has been a terrible.
That's a terrible podcast.
The way he just holds it out.
Type in "Good morning, Julia."
Same.
Oh, this get a kick out of this dude. You really need the visual, but
yeah, I know. Like here, pretty soon, I want to get somewhere where we can shoot a video of this. I know I haven't posted a podcast in forever, but I just kind of trying to see who, you know, like guests and stuff like that. Had a couple people lined up and then just never did anything with it just because. And then now I'm back.
You can do the top one and then.
Let's see.
Hopefully, I don't know if Tom is in that one or not.
So something from Tom Segura's podcast.
Hey, Joe. Just wanted to say hi. Wish you a great day. Tell you that meeting you yesterday, and getting a look at you was probably one of the greatest moments.
The good
of my
ones
life.
With Tom in it, but there's so many
beautiful.
Ceiling fans.
You don't know how beautiful you are to me.
I think it's just him the whole time.
You're gorgeous.
Yeah,
you're precious.
Let's see. See if we can find the real one.
But the story behind this is that this girl is at a gym, and she went on the podcast to talk about it. How he just thought she was so beautiful, and he got her number from her, even though she didn't want to give it. And then this video blew up when her friends posted it on the internet, because it was hilarious, because they sends it to her the next morning. It's "Good morning, Julia. I built this whole house in my own hands. We're going to live together forever." He's like the most beautiful person I've ever seen. And there's these hilarious fan impressions of him, where this guy's just completely off the rails.
Let's see if I can find it. Julia submissions? No. Oh yeah, that is right.
Your mom's. I mean,
do this one.
Shirt one. Yeah, we'll try that one.
All right, we'll check it out. Yeah, I know. The people that are probably listening to this, they don't even listen to T-Fat K or like Joe Rogan, or they probably don't even know any of these guys, but they're basically all big group of friends, Joe Rogan, all these guys. And they all have podcasts, and they're all comedians, so pretty funny people.
Purchases, everybody love those. The socks should be up now. If they're not, check back in a couple days. They're Good Morning Julia socks with fans on them, and literally hundreds of videos come in, and we just can't play them all, but we did a few other selections.
May I say one thing before we continue this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Have you seen Chris D'Elia's special?
Nothing makes me happier.
His comedy special?
Is there a new one out?
No, it's just the Man on Fire.
Oh, I love that one. There's like three of them on Netflix.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
Every now and then, you'll be like, oh my God, you won't believe how many.
I can't get enough of that guy.
Chris D'Elia's there, and Duavon's pretty good, too.
And it makes me laugh so much, and it brings so much joy to my heart, because in a world of just
have to skip.
You know what I mean?
It's 11 minutes long. Let's see.
Let's see. Jeez. Well, in the future, we'll prepare.
Yeah. Let's see.
In the future, we'll prepare. But
yeah,
this is a test pilot right here.
Yeah, I'm just trying to check it out. Just trying to get a little feel for things. I do definitely want to try to like set up a camera or something, because a visual element to a podcast is always 100% better.
Yeah. Well,
if you could see, you know, like the podcast, the people.
Yeah, well, we can move on from that. I don't know where it was, but he's probably my favorite comedian. You've seen his Netflix specials?
Yeah. I've seen his.
Yeah.
His are pretty funny. I'd probably say my favorite. I don't know.
It's hard to have a favorite.
Yeah, no, I like Chris D'Elia's stuff.
I like Bill Burr. I like a lot.
I don't know. I never really got into his stuff. Mm. I like Theo Vaughn, obviously. Brian Callen's pretty funny. Joe's actually wasn't bad this last time. Yeah. I don't know why. I never really could get into Joe's comedy, but then finally this last podcast that he dropped on Netflix was really good. Oh, obviously Joey Diaz is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I take that back. Joey Diaz has probably got to be one of my most favorite. His storytelling is just on another level. If you guys don't know who Joey Diaz is, go do yourself a favor and look this man up, because he is hilarious. Hilarious. He has a podcast. What is the podcast?
Something with church in it. The Church of What's Happening Now.
Yeah, The Church of What's Happening Now. There you go. But he always goes on Joe Rogan's, and it's hilarious. Probably one of the funniest human beings ever. Joe Rogan says he's the funniest human being. I want to see if I can find the other day I watched like an hour long clip of Joey Diaz and Joe Rogan. It's like the funniest Joey Diaz moments on JRE.
Some of my favorite clips. How much you can get people's names wrong. That's just half of it.
Khabib. He's got to be my favorite. I'm going to look that up real quick.
Yeah, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably got to have a bit of a MMA fan blood in you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I know that's like in the recent podcast. It was like basically all business, I would say. It definitely all business oriented, business related, geared, talking about business, had people on that were in the business world. But, you know, my friend here, he doesn't do anything business related.
I don't know shit.
But me and him both love MMA, mixed martial arts, and kind of that whole world. So if Will's ever on again, you bet your sweet ass we're gonna have some MMA talk in there.
Let's dive more into some MMA here. I don't know what we're looking for. Unless you find a good Joey Diaz clip. Let's find it.
Hold on. I do want to bring something up, because I have UFC Fight Pass.
Yeah.
So I'm watching. I want to look at something real quick. Ooh, Gustafson too. Oh, you got to order it though. I do want to watch this. I'm not logged in right now. Okay.
I'm on there a lot.
Oh, yeah. If you don't know UFC Fight Pass, you can go in and literally watch every single fight that's ever happened in the UFC.
Lots of original content on there. It's like $8 a month.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, to me, it's one of the coolest things in the world. Because, you know, you just get to watch old fights.
Lots of grappling, submission.
Yeah, I know that's one thing.
Combat,
so like
jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu is a big thing that I'm into. I will as well. Basically anything in the jiu-jitsu world, MMA world. A little bit of the boxing, a little bit of kickboxing. Basically, we know it.
If you're a real MMA nerd, you'll go back and watch some of the fights coming up with fighters on an upcoming card to get a feel of, re-engage yourself with how they fight, who they fought, what their style is.
I don't know if you saw the UFC kind of posted. Mm-hmm. Who's the breakout fighter of the year? I know Anthony Smith was on there.
I know Cormier was fighter of the year.
Yeah.
I believe he deserved that.
It was Anthony Smith. Anthony Smith. Israel Adesanya.
Oh, well, he was breakout.
Alex Hernandez.
Yeah. Alex Hernandez.
Was on there.
Hometown boy.
Thiago Santos was on there. I don't really get that one.
I know Santos, but if you're a casual fan, you don't know anything about him.
He's been around for a while. I wouldn't necessarily call him a breakout fighter. The man's been in there for a while.
How did that man, speaking of Santos, ever make 185? He's been fighting at 205.
He's huge.
And he's bigger than every single person he fights.
He's huge. Yeah. He's a big dude.
I mean, he could easily be a good-sized heavyweight.
He's a big dude. He's a big dude. Let's just put it that way. He's a real big dude. But, I wonder what's going on here since John Jones got out of his... If you guys don't know, John Jones...
Don't curse it.
...has recently had a couple lapses with, PEDs and stuff like that.
But not a complete doping violation.
Yeah, so... Like I said, again, if you guys aren't familiar with the whole situation, he got suspended in 2017, took a year and a half off because he was suspended, and then they revisited it again.
They found the same traces of Tyrannobol, which is a old school steroid, in his system, which could have got into him in any number of ways through contaminated substances. It's a wild, wild west when it comes to proteins and different pre-workouts. Anything that's supplement is not necessarily government approved or run through like the USDA and other foods. It's its own thing. Yeah. So you never know what you're going to get unless you know exactly where it's coming from and the company that produces it. So a lot of that stuff gets made in the same places that different kinds of oral steroids and things of that nature get made. And that's how they get mixed up.
Yeah. I wonder if they already have the Max Holloway fight up.
Oh, is it on? 231 right there. You can click on it. Cause it
says
it. Yeah. Yeah. Collection. I have not got to watch the Holloway Ortega fight.
I know. It was I actually did watch it. I took that back. I watched a little bit of it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they don't have
maybe
it.
Maybe not yet. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. But.
Yeah, it looks like they just have this so far. Huh, that's kind of a shame. I kind of wanted to watch that one.
I know that was the most strikes landed in UFC history. 400
yeah,
because something.
It would be up here.
And it only made it through the fourth round. It's a whole nother round. So.
I did watch it. I illegally streamed that fight. Thank you. Yes, I watched that one.
Rebel.
What happened with the Curtis Blaydes fight? Ngannou fight? What happened with that one? Who won that fight?
Ngannou knocked him out quick.
Ngannou's
back into
that.
Form. And you saw his crazy power because Curtis blocked the punch, but it still knocked him out.
Let me see. I have not watched this fight at all, so we're going to go back.
It's quick. It's
we're going to go back.
He catches him, and he still clips him, but he took the brute of the punch with his forearm. He blocked it, but he's just crazy power. That's why they're giving Kane to
Ngannou.
To Ngannou, because Ngannou won. If Ngannou hadn't won, he'd be going to fight someone else.
All right, so right now we're going to go ahead and watch back the... Francis Ngannou, Curtis Blaydes fight. I didn't get to watch it. I don't know what I was doing that day, but I did not watch it. So we're going to go back and watch it.
Yeah. Francis Ngannou is basically the freak of all freaks. He's
6'4".
He's completely clean. There's no steroids.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that. He is the most jacked. If you think of a fighter, this is what you think of.
I don't know. He's a big dude. 6'4", 83-inch reach. Big dude. He's obviously other heavyweights, are probably just as big, if not bigger than him. But if you just see the stature
cut,
of this
cut
man,
down, so yeah, he slimmed down.
So let's see. Let's fast forward to this.
Yeah, it doesn't take long.
Because I guarantee you, the most of this is just going to be them introducing and getting this to the start of the fight. Come on now.
They'd already fought, and Ganu had already beat him in the past.
Yeah. Alright, so we're letting it load here. But yeah, and Ganu's got scary knockout power. I mean, obviously, if he touches you most of the time, just about 99% of his opponents
are just gone. He has the world record for the world's hardest punch.
Yeah, that's insane.
So, I mean, that speaks for itself.
He's just a big dude.
That's quite the stat on its own. That should be by his name every single time they talk about him.
Let's see this fight. I'm just glad he's not as gun shy. This is the last time. Because the last time he didn't throw any punches.
Yeah, he never lost. And once you lose, he took it bad.
That was a strong leg kick. Curtis went for a takedown.
He's much more limber this fight. He's leaned down.
Very bouncy on his feet. Looks good. Ooh,
that's
my
all,
God.
That's all it took. Flat on his face.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah, when they go back and show it, you'll see it was actually partially blocked and it still put him down on his face.
That is insane. That was... The people listening to this cannot see, but what Francis Ngannou just did is he's standing up, trading, threw a jab, sat there for a second, stepped into it, and just threw an overhand right from hell and just hit him right over the top. It literally just sat him down just like that. He threw everything he had into that punch.
Now, I have no idea how it will go with Cain Velasquez, but I think Cain...
You think Cain beats him?
I think Cain's gonna be the Cain of old.
I don't think so.
I mean, it's been years.
How many years is it? Like 4 years?
2016. But there's been intervals in between, you know. Travis Brown.
Right here. Boom, boom.
And look, he blocked it with his arm. That's the thing. That's the scary part.
He's out. He's grabbing legs. He's out. Right there. Jab. Bam.
Boom.
Didn't even hit him.
No, dude, he hit him, but it's so slowed down because he blocked it with his arm. Yeah, it doesn't matter. He had so much power.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of had a high guard, and he just went right over that thing, hit him right on the temple. That's one thing. You don't need very much to get knocked out if someone hits you on the temple. That's it.
Not at that weight.
No, not at that weight. No. That's a big man. That's a big dude. Wow.
He's shredded.
That's
Shred City.
Wow.
I didn't find out until today, but I'm very excited about this ESPN card.
The Alex Hernandez.
Alex Hernandez, he trains at Ohana Academy in San Antonio here. He's going to be fighting the legend Donald Cowboy Cerrone, who's probably at this point my favorite fighter of all time, him and Chuck Liddell. So, I'm pretty sure anytime Cerrone fights, no, I don't care how much I like the other person, I'm probably rooting for Cerrone.
I forgot that Israel Adesanya and Derek Brunson are on the same card.
Yeah, and he's my other favorite. I love Adesanya I ken my striking. It's nowhere near his level, but I love watching his style.
This is what I understand. UFC 230, UFC, whoever's in charge of this shit, get your shit together. Come on. How was Jared Cannonier and David Branch a bigger fight than Israel Adesanya, Derek Brunson? How the hell does that happen?
Did they actually fight after that?
Yeah. Who did that?
I think Adesanya, did he open up the card or no?
No, I mean...
Because there's only five fights per main card.
Yeah, so it was literally these four and this one. So how did open up the pay-per-view?
You want to build the fights, I mean...
Yeah, in my opinion, if I want to see something good, I mean, because these are all middleweight fights. Carl Robertson, Jack Marshman, David Branch, Jared Cannonier, Chris Weidman, you know, Jacare Souza, Derek Brunson, and Israel Adesanya, they're all middleweights. So let's just go ahead and put the best ones, you know, co-main event, and then on. And they have Chris Weidman.
Yeah, the Souza. Adesanya fight should have been third.
Yeah. I can get where Jacare and Chris are gonna get the co-main, but come on, who the hell is Jared Cannonier? And who the hell's David Branch? Come on, boys. Let's get your shit together. Michael Johnson. Art Lobov, the GOAT.
The GOAT.
The GOAT, baby. Nah, that's painful to watch. That's a hard one to watch.
I can't.
Even Connor. It's a rough one to watch. This card right here. Tony Ferguson.
Oh.
Alexander Volkov. The fleece from right here from the Felice Herrig Michelle Waterson fight. That's where the card started to turn around. Other than that, card was sad. I didn't see too much.
They were banking on the fact that McGregor, and of course they're right, is going to draw on all the pay per views. So they didn't.
Of course, they didn't really care.
So they watered down the rest of the card to save all the good fights for later.
Yeah, and I mean obviously the Derek Lewis fight was a good one.
And obviously Tony Ferguson fight and Anthony Pettis.
Christ.
By no means is that a slouch fight. That's a great fight. But the rest of the card was kind of, you know, they're all UFC fighters. You got to give them that respect. But come on now, this is not what you expect out of a pay-per-view. That's a fight night.
This card was kind of lackluster as well. The UFC 228.
What I did like about that card, I remember, is that all the old guys won. I remember Jim Miller won, Diego Sanchez won. Is he on there somewhere?
Yeah. I don't see him on there.
Maybe I'm talking about the wrong card.
No, man. He's probably on there, but
he's probably prelims.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jim Miller, Diego Sanchez, and Tyron Wood. I mean, he's not really that old, but... And yeah. I was rooting for Darren Till, actually. But,
yeah.
But a lot of the old guys won. It's good to see that they still have it, but it's kind of a transition era.
So this UFC 228 was kind of something crazy that happened on that one was...
Oh, this is a beat fight,
two knee bars.
Gah.
But in the UFC, there had only been one done before this, but it's a certain type of...
In the entire 25 years.
Yeah, but it's a certain type of knee bar to where you are taking the back of the opponent. Right, you start up standing, and whenever they go in into a clinch or whatever, you just take the leg and you roll under and you take the back. So he's literally behind him with his knee in the shoulder as a fulcrum just to snap that knee if he doesn't tap. There was two of them on the same card. Aljamain Sterling got one earlier on in the night, and then Zabit Magomed Sharipov got one. That's a name right there to pronounce.
There's also in the UFC a Magomed Sharipov, and they're not related.
Magomed Sharipov.
Same last name.
Yeah.
And then Magomed is the first.
Yeah, that is insane. So
Russians are insane.
227, that was a good card. Obviously, you had the Demetrius Cejudo fight.
It was a very high pay-per-view buck. I didn't get to see it, but...
Dillashaw, yeah. Garbrandt, that was a good fight.
I've seen it since.
Renato Moicano, Cub Swanson, that was a good fight. I remember that one. I watched that fight.
There's another Thiago Santos on there.
Yeah,
he's been pretty active.
This happened in...
That man has a hammer August, tattooed on his chest. He's...
Right, August 4th was UFC 229? August 4th?
No, 229.
I mean 227?
Oh, 227.
Right, I'm pretty sure it was August 4th, because I'm pretty sure I was in Dallas that day. August 4th, yep. Yeah, August 4th. Yeah, because I never watched that one in the hotel.
The thing I like in general about fighting is that it's always puzzled me why it's not a more popular sport, because anytime anything controversial happens in another sport, oh, there's a big fight, everyone charged the mound, or Rajon Rondo punched Chris Paul in the middle of the game,
everybody goes up in arms like, oh my god, did you see this fight?
But it's what everyone's attention is drawn to,
so
why would you not watch the real deal?
Yeah,
that's what I've always not understood. This is the ultimate metaphor for life. It's like competition, it's highest form, it's got the highest stakes.
Wow.
It's got, you know, anything can happen at any moment, and it's real, it's live, and it's not a sport where you just come back the next game. This is people's lives, and that's why you can get really connected to it, because you understand the impact it'll have.
Huh, so I haven't seen this. Zach Otto
and Sage Northcutt.
Yeah. Or Otto, or in Sage Northcutt. So I haven't seen Sage Northcutt fight. I want to watch this one.
Do you want a spoiler, or do you already know?
No, I'm pretty sure Sage wins, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I want to see this. What's going on here?
It goes through the second.
Oh, it goes through the second?
Yeah.
Okay. He, for being 6 foot tall, he has a small reach.
Yeah.
Very small.
But is he not the most jacked kid you've ever seen?
Sage Northcutt is jacked. Man is huge.
If you're a lady, go to his Instagram. You're going to be on there for a while.
Yeah, dude is bodied up. Bodied up for sure.
I mean, you could not put more lean muscle on a body without pumping steroids into it than that. I mean,
yeah, the dude's got a washboard. I mean, I don't know. He is jacked. But yeah, he's from Houston, actually. Oh,
yeah, he's from KD.
Oh, well. We'll start here.
So, immediately what you missed, all you missed is that, like usual, he seems to have a bit of a glass chin. Bit of a glass chin. And he got clipped and went down.
Oh, okay.
But,
good up kick. He's kind of holding him there, just kind of playing.
Right now, just working his core. Just working his core.
So the dude passes into side control pretty easily. I mean, all he does is just, you know, pressure pass and just get into side control. There you go. Switch over into full control. I mean, full mount. Sorry, I don't know. Sound like a noob there for a second. Then puts himself back into half guard. That's one thing that I don't get. Is these UFC fighters, they pressure pass and into full mount, and then they stay back on the hips, and then just lets the other guy get half guard back.
It's hard to say why, because it's kind of jujitsu 101.
It's just jujitsu 101 to get up and then scoot up.
Stay off their power.
Stay off the hips. You know, you want to get as far away as from the most powerful thing in the body is the hips. Rolls for a guillotine, comes at the back, stands up, and then back in a half guard.
Not much damage being done, but
yeah,
he's controlling them.
It's just one thing that I don't ever get. It'll never face it. Every card, every single card, you're going to see a guy pressure pass, go into side control, and then once he goes to side control, that's it. They're just going to go. Oh, he's got him in an armbar here. That looks tight. That looks real tight.
Except he's crushing down on him, keeping him from straightening out the elbow.
Yeah, he does. So for you guys listening, you do not, if you're in an armbar situation, you do not want to get that arm straight.
It's over.
Yeah. Yeah, if that arm gets straightened out, you're going to have a sore elbow for about 2 months or, you know, a broken arm.
Look at that. You can't not. See, this right here.
I don't know. What, you know, you never know. Every fight, every situation is different. But right here, let's go. Let's get the legs out of the way. And let's pressure pass. So I see so many guys stand here. And I saw a dude get knocked out standing there just like that. Because these up kicks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's just chilling out.
Well, it's funny you say that because you're going to see.
Right there. Right there. Sage already landed one. And luckily he missed with that one.
It's funny you say that because you're going to see how this ends.
Right here.
Oh, interesting.
Ready? He's passing. He's going to pass the ankle through. Side control. Ready?
He already has a knee on the arm. He could go to a crucifix, but he's not.
So he has side control. Sage isn't doing anything. He's not bumping. He's not trying to roll through, go out the back door.
He does have a crucifix position, but he's not doing anything with it.
Yeah.
Okay, not even. Well.
So right here. Right there, but he. Oh, but
Northcutt shrimps out.
Yeah. But I'm like, come on, man. Like, have better control. Because if you have good control, someone in side control, they're not shrimping out easy.
Yeah.
Like that. They're not doing that to you. Okay, he has. Okay, finally, he's got up on the hips. Out of the hips. Still on the hips. Alright, Sage, back to the feet.
This guy, yeah.
This is not where you want to be.
But Northcutt looks a lot better at this weight, the 170.
Yeah. He's sticking behind a jab. Ooh, good right hand.
See, most people he fights, he's better than them on the feet.
Ooh, guillotine.
Problem is the ground.
There you go. Attaboy. See, he's just so explosive once he gets to the feet. And he's the best whenever he gets people up against the fence. He just seems to throw.
He's so fast.
He just seems to throw punches and bunches once you get to the fence. If you're back to the fence with Sage Northcutt, good luck. You're not getting out of there. Oof, slipped out.
First round's almost over.
Yeah, seconds left in the first. Throwing hard ground and pound. There you go. What would you score that if you're a judge?
That one's not an easy round to score, but I would score it I would score it, actually, I would score it 10-9 auto only because what you didn't see in the beginning is he did clip Northcutt and put him down.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
If you didn't have that, I might give it to Sage because he did more damage in the end, and auto didn't really damage him, but just he did hurt him in the beginning, so I'd give it to auto because he controlled him most of the round and only got hit a few more times at the very end. So it's tough to score that one.
I don't know. I
you can make an argument either way.
Yeah, I want to score it 10-9 Sage. It nowhere near is it a 10-8 for auto,
but
or 10-8 for Sage.
But it is important to finish good, and that's what Northcutt did. He finished strong.
I didn't see the very beginning if it was just, but from right there, that, from the ending, I would say the casual fan's going to give it 10-9 Sage, but it goes 10-9.
I would give it 10-9 if it weren't for the beginning of the round.
Okay, so here we go. They're showing the clip right here.
Yeah, if it weren't for this, I would have given it to Northcutt. But since they both hurt each other a little bit and auto controlled longer, that's where my.
So they're both throwing. Okay, yeah.
That's where I'm coming from. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was knocked out there for a second. His eyes rolled back.
And he doesn't have the best chin. He's been showing that in a lot of fights. You know, doesn't have the best chin.
Yeah.
But very wide karate stance, very fast, explosive. Increasingly better striking. It's just always the ground I'm worried. I'm never worried about him on the feet.
Yeah, him
he can
on the
strike.
Ground.
He can strike with a lot this of guys on the feet.
This is why I don't. This is what I don't understand. This is what I don't understand. Is that he's what, a purple belt, a brown belt in jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, purple at least.
Purple. I know he's a purple for sure. I don't know if he's brown. But look at that. He gives the back up so easily. And I don't, like I said, I don't know if it's just him in a fight. He gets nervous, his nerves get to him, and he's just not thinking in certain situations.
It's hard to speak to it.
And it's hard to understand what these guys are going through. But he, like, all these guys, I'm like, you're a black belt. Yeah. What are you doing? You know? Like, what are you doing, my guy? And I know everybody can play couch quarterback and say, Tom, what are you doing? You should have thrown the ball over here. But with that, if you know anything about jiu-jitsu, you know that if you're a black belt, you've done thousands of reps, thousands of hours, to where you're like, okay, come on.
Yeah, I feel like this sport, if you've at least been in jiu-jitsu long and you know enough, it's easier to break down what they're doing. Doesn't mean you've been in their position or know how it feels, but I feel like since I've been training for not like that, but pretty much my whole life in certain aspects, I mean, it's sometimes I still don't feel like I have the right to judge what they did, and other times I'm like, okay, that's just no excuse.
At least up in the stand-up category,
it just depends. At least in the stand-up,
yeah, in the stand-up category you can, and on the ground, me and you both maybe not so much.
I wouldn't put myself on the ground in terms of
either he just didn't.
There was no sprawling. I mean, he just squatted down as soon as he took his leg.
Right there, he just didn't sprawl enough. He didn't sprawl hard enough.
Now, I don't know Zach Otto's wrestling credentials, but I don't think he's like
any D1 All-American.
Yeah.
Either. Yeah. Because that's all Sage has had trouble with. It's just a guy with a decent takedown and a good ground game.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If Sage can get someone who doesn't have a good ground game, which in this case, it's somewhat Otto. I mean, obviously not a bad ground game, but you'll see in just a second here. You know, if you can keep it on the feet, Sage has a real future. But that's, you need to be well-rounded. It's MMA.
It's one thing that
and that's Steven, why, that's why he's in one championship now. So.
It's one thing that Stephen Thompson does really good is he has a good enough ground game to stay out of trouble.
Yes.
And he has a very good takedown defense. That's why he can throw kicks at his will. You're not afraid to get taken down.
Hey, Sage, if you see this, which you won't, we're not judging you.
Oof. Yeah, we love you, Sage.
And our families know each other, so hit me up.
Good takedown.
All right, here it comes.
Ooh.
More or less.
Knee to the liver right there.
Out. Just hammer fist. Hammer fist right there on the temple, right behind the ear, somewhere around there. Out.
Second hammer fist, he was gone.
And on this card, I believe there's another hammer fist finish. Maybe not, but...
Yes. Oh,
this was... Yeah, there was. This was a very good card from what I remember. And I was out of the country. I didn't see it. I had to record it.
Yes.
I had to record it, but I went back and watched it. And I was like, oh
my gosh.
So,
that one was Nico Price. Nico Price, Randy Brown.
He hammer fist KO.
Hammer fist from the bottom.
Randy
Nico
Brown?
Price.
Oh, Nico Brown.
Nico Price from right here. He had Nico Brown in an armbar setup, armbar leg lock setup. He was against a cage right there. That same shot that they're using right there for the picture thumbnail.
Right.
Had his head right there trapped.
Yeah, I remember now. I did.
And just started throwing hammer fists from the bottom. And that's what I'm saying, people. If you don't know, my gosh, if you're on the bottom, you can do a lot of damage from the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously the guy knocks someone out with hammer fists from the bottom, but you can throw elbows. I mean, it's a dangerous place to be. Did you see Gordon Ryan's fighting Fabricio Werdum?
Yes.
In combat jiu-jitsu?
Yes.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And there's not a whole big, not a ton of size difference. Like, Gordon's a big kid.
He's a big dude.
What is he, like 27 now or something like that?
No, 24.
Oh, he's young. He's still young.
24.
Yeah, he's a big guy, and he's very athletic. I mean, I think Verdum's a world champion in grappling and MMA, but he's getting up there. I'm Gordon Ryan, he's world champion, too.
He's edging 40, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I would give it to Gordon Ryan.
Fabricio.
I would say he's like 41, if I had to guess.
I'm going to say 39. 41, you are right. 41. 1977, yep.
41. It's always been interesting to me how heavyweights can last longer. They can get older.
Yeah, because I don't know. I don't know why that is. I mean, because you look at Mark Hunt.
And they take more damage is a thing.
Like, the dude has... I mean, Mark Hunt's been around for a grip.
Yeah, he just had his last UFC fight. Hopefully he's retiring permanently, but it may just be from the UFC.
I mean, he's been around for a while. Fabricio Werdum's been around for a while. Alistair Overeem's been around for a while.
And he had his comeback win against somebody.
You never know who those boys are fighting.
Yeah.
But at some point, those guys, I mean, it's just like, you need some new blood in there. Yeah. Andre Arlovsky's been in there forever.
Tell you what, oh, dude, forever. And he just lost his last fight again, but...
To Tua Tagovailoa?
But you want to talk about the absolute monster of, like, being his age? We both know it's Yoel Romero.
Yeah.
Number one contender still at 42 years old.
Yeah, okay, so for the people listening, if you stayed this long
Google
to
image.
Listen...
Somehow, you're still here.
Google Yoel Romero. He's a Cuban. He's a 41-year-old Cuban man who is,
who doesn't
probably
have a neck because his traps have surpassed them and melted into themselves. And now he's just this, the genetics on this man. The athleticism.
Was this the card? Where the walkout song was really, yeah,
Sweet
it was.
Caroline?
Yeah, it was. I want to watch that.
It's a good song.
But yeah, Yoel Romero is 41 years old and looks like a 25-year-old dude who's been bodybuilding hard.
So jacked. Grew up in the wrestling system of Cuba. I mean, brutal.
Yeah, the dude still has a body of like
a
dude in his prime.
What's even scarier than him knocking someone out is when he knocked out Luke Rockhold, and then as he's still recovering from the knockout, goes up and kisses him on the cheek. Just because he's Cuban and crazy.
My favorite... I don't think they're going to show the intros.
Darren Till's back.
But my favorite, Yoel Romero, is Chris Weidman shoots for a takedown.
Oh, that was brutal.
And Yoel Romero's also throwing a flying knee at the same time. So, Chris Weidman's going down. UL's going up. And he catches Chris Weidman right over the eye with a flying knee. Knocked out cold for minutes. He was out.
It was a terrible, terrible knockout. That was... It's one of the worst knockouts I've seen, though. Has to be... One, Dan Henderson, Michael Bisping.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
He was out for literally minutes. And then two, recently, last year, Francis Ngannou knocking out Alistair Overeem. He sent him into another dimension. He hit him with an uppercut. Hit him with an uppercut and lifted him off his feet.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's a big man to throw into the air with a punch.
Yeah. It's insane. But, So, I don't even know who the next card is for the...
It's the ESPN debut.
Was it February 19th, right?
Yeah. No, it was
January 19th.
January
19th,
yeah. Yeah.
So that's here in, what, 2 weeks?
Main event is Champ Dillashaw versus Cejudo.
Ooh, wow. I didn't know that one's on there.
Yeah. That, cause
and it's free?
It's free. They're bringing out guns blazing for the ESPN debut. They want, wow. They want, you know, they want to impress ESPN. They want to impress the people tuning in. They did the same thing when they first came to Fox Sports.
Mm-hmm.
They put in heavyweight title fight for free between Dos Anjos and Kane.
Yeah,
and that's when Dos Anjos beat Kane in Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it Verdum? Verdum or Dos Anjos? I don't know.
Dos Santos.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dos Santos, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's champion versus champion headliner fight for free that never, ever, ever will happen again unless they change platforms or do something crazy like they are now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a crazy fight.
ESPN Plus. That alone.
And Donald Cerrone, is it co-main?
I don't know what position, but somewhere like that. Then Donald Cerrone, I bet he'll be co-main versus our San Antonio boy, Alexander Hernandez. You got...
I'm going to look that up because I want to see who's the co-main. That's a crazy main event.
You have the dime piece fight between Rachel Ostovich and
Paige
VanZant.
Yep.
You know everyone's going to watch that. And then you got...
Good Jones.
The controversial part is the Greg Hardy. We won't get... I don't know. But anyway, he'll be on there.
Yep.
A lot of good fights on that card.
I'm gonna see who...
Watch that,
dude. Let's see... Yeah, I'm just going to look it up on UFC.com. Yeah, because that's a stacked card. Greg Hardy, Alan Crowder.
Obviously, Hardy's going to win.
Gregor Gillespie and Yancy Medeiros.
Yeah, I believe he's Irish. Greg Gillespie. And then Medeiros trains with Holloway. He's a Hawaiian.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. Up next, let's just see. Who is on the card?
I'm so...
We know champ. Okay, so that's all they have? Okay, never mind. Really? Alan Crowder and Greg Hardy are the
I don't think
event?
It's necessarily in order yet. I think it's just
I was going to say, let's have these people as the co-main.
No, it's definitely,
these people as
it's definitely not going to end up like that. Like, there's no way Cerrone's that low in the card. It's just not in order, that's all.
Okay, so Randy Brown.
So not a ton of huge names, but there's some really good ones still.
Randy Brown, Chance Rencontre.
Someone we don't know.
Bilal Muhammad.
He's been there forever.
Jeff Neal, Vinicius Castro.
I know a lot of just newbies, and you got, you know her, Joanne Calderwood.
Joanne Calderwood. So this is my favorite
Favorite fight right there.
How is he 13? Oh, he's been fighting that. Welterweight, my bad. So, Donald Cerrone, Alex Hernandez. Okay. Glover Teixeira.
I really hope Cerrone wins that fight.
Ian Kutalaba. Yeah. Paige VanZant, Rachel Ostovich.
Teixeira's been around for a hot minute. He's a good... He looks like he's pushing 50 or maybe more. He's in his late 30s, I think.
But Henry Cejudo, TJ Dillashaw is going to be a fight.
Okay, you got Henry Cejudo, who's a gold medalist wrestler.
Olympic gold medalist.
And you got TJ Dillashaw, who's got just about the best footwork, Muay Thai, and kickboxing you've ever seen. Cut angles all over the place. The question is, I think everyone knows this is like one of those striker versus wrestler fights, but Cejudo's not afraid to strike. But,
yeah, he's not.
But we all know Cejudo's going to be going for the takedown to grind him out. So
I don't know if it's really a striker versus wrestler. I mean, because
TJ believes he can out wrestle Cejudo, which would be very interesting to see.
I think he has better MMA wrestling than
Cejudo.
And
that could be true.
I don't think he has better wrestling.
It's like not
they,
all.
They already get on the mat.
It's not.
Wrestle.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the same. Well, it's not the same thing.
No.
It's not.
You got to worry about kicks, knees, punches, elbows, feet. You got to worry about everything.
As Connor would say, we come from a much more brutal sport.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry there's a long pause. I'm over here just looking at YouTube, trying to see if there's anything that's going to spark my interest. But other than that, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. It's right at about an hour.
That's a good time.
It's about a normal podcast length. Again, for the people that made it this far, I doubt any of you are going to make it this far. I appreciate it. I know Will over here appreciates it.
Yep.
Probably have him on the podcast a couple of times, talk about UFC fights and shit like that. Might even have to do a fight companion.
Yeah, might have to. Plan it out next time.
Might have to run you out and get a fight companion going on. That'd be
stuff
fun.
Ready to go, yeah.
But other than that, hey, that's it.
Yeah. Signing out.
All right. Peace.